Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, so Nix, and welcome once again to my allotment and to my shed for this sermon. Quite a number of you sent in positive comments about my Easter Day sermon from here, and not only about the sermon, but about this shed itself. And I'm so glad you noticed. Some of you said it seemed a bit too tidy for a shed. One of you was concerned that this in fact counted as a second home, and should I really be staying here at such a time? Well, it is a lovely shed. But the secret to its tidiness is that I actually have two sheds on my allotment. A tool shed, which is just through the window over there, and a tea shed, which is where we are for this sermon. I love building sheds. In fact, I love building almost anything. Designing, constructing, assembling, a shed, a compost bin, a raised bed. To be honest, I'm here as often with a saw and a power drill as I am with a spade and a fork. And some of my allotment neighbours laugh at me. Our passage this morning is about building. Not a shed, but a church. The church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "I will build my church," says Jesus. It's a foundational passage. We're beginning a series of sermons over May, between now through to Pentecost, looking at our fellowship. We'd actually planned to do that anyway, as we preach through the three different areas of our vision over 2020. If you remember, back in the spring, we looked at mission, over the summer, fellowship, and then worship in the autumn. And we did consider putting this plan on hold while we're not able to meet together physically, and while all our plans are up in the air at the moment. But after reflection, we decided to keep going, at least for this month. This actually could be a very good time to think through what it means for a church fellowship to exist. What a church fellowship is ultimately about. This time when most of what we normally experience or understand of as fellowship is not happening, does that mean that a church's fellowship is on hold? Well, no. But what does it mean? And what is fellowship that can continue to exist at this time? Jesus didn't ever use the word fellowship. In fact, he only used the word church a few times, and this passage is one of them. "I will build my church," he says. It's a foundational statement. It gives us the foundation for what we understand a church fellowship to be. Jesus's commitment to build his church, to build a fellowship of believers. We're not a social club or a hobby for the spiritually minded or a self-help group for needy people. We are his church, and we're not on hold. I want us to see two things that Jesus gives us, focusing especially on verses 18 and 19 of our passage. And the first thing is this: confidence. I will build my church, says Jesus, verse 18. We, as those who have faith in Jesus Christ, who worship and serve him, we are his church, Christ's church. We're not a human organization to go alongside all the other organizations in this world, all struggling like us to adapt to these current circumstances. We're not even something set up by those first followers of Jesus so that we can remember him and help one another to follow him. No, our origin, our founder, is Jesus Christ himself. My church, says Jesus. We are his people. He is building us together. Jesus Christ, the master builder, building his church. And what does Jesus build upon? What foundation? He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build. I actually bought this shed on eBay, secondhand, from someone in Kingsclear. And one of the reasons I bought it wasn't just that it was going cheap, not just that it had a tongue and groove panelling, which I hope some of you have noticed, but it came with four great railway sleepers as a base. They were a total hassle to collect and to shift, but they make a solid foundation. One of my allotment neighbour's sheds actually blew over in one of the storms this winter, but this shed isn't going anywhere. Well, the church is built not on railway sleepers, but on rock. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build. Peter, as you probably know, means rock. Well, why Peter? What's so special about him? Well, in this passage, Peter has just made the great confession. Jesus has asked his disciples that most important question: who do you say I am? They've been talking about what others are saying, and Jesus wants to know what they believe. And Peter is the first. Verse 16, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the first. He's the first believer. And on this first believer, this rock, Jesus will build his church. As others come to believe, to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, so they too will be built together into his church. Believers ultimately from every nation around the world, down the centuries, and down to us here at St. Nick's Newbury. As we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we put our faith in him, so we are his church, built on solid rock. And we're built to last, built to weather the storms. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it, says Jesus. We are on solid rock as we confess with Peter our faith in Jesus Christ. Building, as we know, is a slow process. Builders have a reputation for taking much longer than we would like. Perhaps you have first-hand experience of that. It's the same with the work of building the church. Jesus Christ is still at it. He's taking a long time. He's not finished yet. We are work in progress. When I was at university, in the summer holidays, I always used to work for a local builder's firm, and we were always taking far longer than we said we would, coming up with all sorts of excuses as to why we hadn't finished yet. As far as I'm aware, though, we never claimed divine precedent as a reason for taking so long. Maybe we should have tried that as an excuse. Jesus Christ is the builder of the church, built on the rock of Peter and his faith. And in time, this became the great proclamation of the early church. Jesus is Lord. And on this, Jesus built his church. And he continues to build. And what he builds to last. And this gives us great confidence. It gives us confidence as we think about the future of the church. We're always hearing the depressing statistics about declining numbers of church attenders in the West. The church is assaulted with all sorts of problems on every side. It gives us confidence as we think about the future. But also, especially at this time, right now, it gives us confidence in the present. Although at St. Nick's, many of our plans for St. Nick's Church are put on hold. Think of the plans that we have in this vision document. Think of some of the ministries that we were just beginning to start. Our plans may have been disrupted, but his plan is not thwarted. Our task is to ensure that we continue in the faith of Peter and those first believers. And on this rock, Christ will build. Speaking personally, I have found a fresh appreciation of Easter confidence this year. The need for it, the possibility of it, the power of it, at a time when so much of what we normally do as a church isn't happening. When everything is changing, and even the little things that we are doing seem so small and vulnerable, that can bring out all sorts of insecurities and anxieties in a rector, I can tell you. But I am reminded of how small and vulnerable and insecure and anxious those first believers were. Surely the early church should be snuffed out almost immediately. But one fact changed everything. Jesus is the Christ, risen from the dead, Lord of the church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You can be confident. So that's the first thing, confidence. Secondly, commission. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. Jesus is not just the master builder, he is also a master delegator. It's a very different skill. And as he builds his church, so he delegates incredible responsibility to his church. He says to Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This verse is, of course, the source of all those jokes about Peter standing at the pearly gates deciding whether or not people get into heaven. He's the one with the keys. But this verse is not just for Peter. It's for the whole church. Jesus says a very similar thing to the whole church in Matthew chapter 18. We, the church, have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. When I became rector at St. Nick's 9 years ago, as part of my induction service and part of the ceremony, I was given this bunch of keys, the keys to St. Nick's. It was a significant moment. It's symbolic of authority and responsibility. But the reason I was given the keys to the church, that wasn't so that I could let myself into church for my own private service. It was so that I could open it up for public worship. I have a responsibility to ensure that it's open for all. And the church, says Jesus, has been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And this isn't so that it can let itself in. or decide who gets let in. It's so that it can open it up to all. This is exactly what Peter and those first disciples did, beginning in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The church has been given the keys to the kingdom, commissioned to open it up to all people. This isn't just about going to heaven when we die. It's the reality of the kingdom now, the knowledge of the love of God, the freedom of the forgiveness of sins, the privilege of being called sons and daughters of the living God, the call to follow Christ in mission and service and find life in its fullness that way. As we make all this known, we open up the kingdom of heaven to people. As they respond, they are loosed and freed terribly. If they reject it, they stay bound in sin. That's what the second half of verse 19 is about. This is the seriousness of our responsibility, this commission that we've been given. Of course, one of the keys that I haven't used at all over the last 6 weeks is this one. It's the key to the front door of St. Nick's Church. I haven't used it. You haven't been in there. The building is shut. The doors are closed. Wonderfully, church has continued in new ways like this one. There's a lovely slogan that many churches are using, including us at St. Nick's. The building is closed, the church remains open. And it's true. But our passage today reminds us that we must go further than that. The building is closed, but the kingdom of heaven is open. The wonderful news of the love and mercy of God, the forgiveness and fatherhood of God, the call of God to all, the welcome. Many churches are reporting that during this time, people who do not normally come to church are accessing their services online. Many more people, the numbers are significantly greater than would normally attend on a Sunday. And this is true for St. Nick's as well, for which we give thanks. In fact, maybe today you're watching this from home and you're not a regular churchgoer. You wouldn't call yourself a believer. But here you are watching a vicar on YouTube in his shed. Who'd have thought? Well, the kingdom of heaven is open to you. And I hope that as you stick around, you might discover more and more of what it means to enter in. But really, we've covered much of it just today. It means to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to choose to follow him. Please let me know if you would like to talk more about this. My contact details are on the church website. I would love to talk more to you. But it's not just the resources that St. Nick's is producing centrally or online that matter. Each one of us has a part to play. We are the church. We've been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And in our relationships with friends and family and colleagues, and especially at this time, the way we behave, how we react to our current pressures, the things that we say out there on our front lines, we open the kingdom of heaven to all. Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, give us confidence at this time that you are Lord, Lord of our lives, Lord of our church, and that you will build. Help us to continue in the faith of Peter and those first Christians. Give us, as you gave them, opportunities to speak and to act in such a way that we open the kingdom of heaven to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless.